Welcome to School's Out, the podcast where we dive deep into the heart of education through candid conversations and real-life experiences. I'm your host, Miles O'Shea, joined by my co-host, Mike Ditzenberger, and we're here to challenge the status quo and explore the many facets of learning. In each episode, we'll bring you thought-provoking discussions with educators, students, experts, and innovators who are reshaping the landscape of education. From the classroom to the boardroom, we'll tackle the tough questions, share personal stories, and uncover insights that go beyond the textbooks. So whether you're a parent navigating the complexities of the education system, a teacher seeking inspiration, or simply curious about the future of learning, this podcast is for you. Get ready to join us on a journey where no topic is off limits and where every conversation sparks new ideas and perspectives. Welcome to School Is Out, where the bell may have rung, but the learning never stops.
Hey, Miles.
Mike, what's up?
Not a lot. We got another strategy to get it done topic. We're gonna talk. We tried this last week. We're gonna revamp our conversation on worksheets.
We're talking about worksheets. It's worksheets the way we're suggesting that people get it done.
Worksheets are the way of the future. Not just worksheets. We've got paper worksheets. We've got digital worksheets. Got worksheets in my dreams. Got worksheets everywhere.
We got all kinds of worksheets. Most advanced form of a worksheet, which are multiple pieces of white paper with black letters stapled together, the packet.
The packet. Oh, get out your packet. You know, nothing says to me that I'm learning like completing 5 pages stapled together in the corner and saying, I got my packet done. I'm ready to turn it in. I love that. It's just such a sense of accomplishment and completion, you know, because, I mean, if you get into the world of completion and compliance, the worksheet is your best friend. So I always think to myself, I hope not too many of our close friends are listening to this episode of School Is Out podcast, but what's the most popular area in your school? Is it the cafeteria? Is it the playground? Oh, no. It's the copy room. There's always a line in the copy room. And I tell you, if you step out of your plan period and dare you copy something not in the time frame of your plan period, you will be called to the carpet. You'll be called to the carpet. So if my plan period is from 10:30 to 11:10, that's when I have to make my worksheets. If I make my worksheets outside of that, I'm in somebody else's queue of making their worksheets. So,
and you don't want to get your worksheets mixed up with the other worksheets coming off the copier at the same time, because then you have a worksheet mess. Oh. And you're trying to sort out multiple copies of multiple worksheets. You're going to be in bad shape.
You know, if your worksheets say like 6 plus 9 and my worksheets say 6 plus 3 and they get mixed together, somebody's not going to learn properly.
All right, Mike, we're talking about worksheets specifically because I think hopefully people are able to realize a little bit. We are trying to advocate against the use of worksheets in the classroom. And the overall strategy to get it done is to move away from worksheets. We're going to talk about them and how we see them used in education, what they look like right now, and hopefully what people can do to fix this and do something different to get it done.
Yeah. So I, just to start off, am I 100% against worksheets? Of course not. I think they can be useful. We're going to talk about how a worksheet can be useful, but definitely not. You're not going to hear me say worksheets or packets or things like that. Long ago in my learning, when I was just a young buck in the field, a student teacher even, I had a really, really good mentor teacher who said to me, gave me a rule of thumb. He says, Mike, if you're going to give a worksheet, you should give, if you have to give a worksheet, you limit yourself to 1 worksheet per class per week. So at the time I was teaching Spanish, I had Spanish 1, 2, and 3, or 1, 2, 3, and 4, something like that. So it was really driven into me to say, so basically I could only give four worksheets per week per, well, per week, one per class per week. So, and I think that the discussion that we had around that was make yourself the instructor. You yourself are the person who's going to get all the stuff out of the kids. You don't need them to put stuff on a worksheet that you're going to glance at. So I'm glad that he said that because it sent me on a path throughout my entire educational career of continuing that one worksheet per week per class. But then as I kept going about that, what's the function of the worksheet? You got to ask yourself that all the time. So yeah.
And we've talked about this, Mike, and can ask you the question, and I'll answer it first for myself. We're advocating to move away from worksheets. As a classroom teacher, did I use worksheets? I cannot remember using worksheets almost at all. And I'll just explain why from my perspective, and maybe this makes sense. When I was teaching a topic, a lesson, a unit, I created that. From the first days that I started looking at lesson planning and making experiences for kids, and I looked at the resources that were available, and I was a language arts teacher. There's usually a book when you're teaching language arts, and there's short stories in there, and there's units on different things. And then there's probably some masters, and that's what they call that in the education photocopy world, the master book that you can make worksheets from. I never liked anything that was available. And so from the start, I started creating my own questions, my own experiences, my own assignments. And that goes into then creating your own tests, your own forms of assessment. And I almost never use something that someone else made. And that's the one thing I wanted to say about worksheets in this podcast and a strategy to get it done and think through. When you are giving assignments and assessments that a different person made, you don't have a level of ownership of that. There's a loss of something authentic that goes into you teaching your students something and then creating experiences and assessing that. You're now giving things that someone somewhere else made who doesn't know you and doesn't know your students. So I pretty much never use those things.
Right. And I'm glad that you said that because any worksheets that I chose to use, they had to pass a lot of scrutiny. So I often made my own. So any type of practice I wanted to do, I often did. Everything was generated by me. So in a Spanish classroom, I would often write these little stories, like a little paragraph story, incorporating kids' names into them, and then continuing the story all year long, bringing different characters into the story. And kids were excited to read those things. Well, I'm not a published author of textbooks, so I would do those types of things. Now and again, the textbook would have a worksheet for vocabulary, and I did like these, and I'll tell you why I liked them. Certainly not because there was five pictures on one page, and you had to take a vocab word from the textbook that matched that same picture and rewrite the same word from the textbook onto a worksheet and said, "Hey, I learned this." No, I liked the pictures because I'm never have been a good drawer. I can't draw anything. But whenever the textbook would show me a picture of a scene or a person doing something or showing something in a vocab word, I would always take that a little bit extra. I was telling you before about how I would take a worksheet, make a transparency out of it, put the transparency on the projector, and then write on it and have kids come up and write on it. And we would describe that picture more than just a vocab word. What's going on? What do you think this person's thinking? What's he going to do next? Incorporating a lot of strategy into just that and getting discussion around it. So it was a lot more than just, I'm going to run this off and give it to you and walk away. No, there was none of that ever.
So we're going to have teachers listen to this. We're going to have parents listen to this. Whoever's listening to this that experiences education. The question I have about worksheets for the teacher who's assigning them, or for the parents who are seeing them come home, or for the learners is what's the purpose of the assignment that you're giving? Teacher listening to this might think, hey, worksheets are a big part of what I do, and this is what we do in my class. When you're giving that worksheet to students, what's the purpose?
Right. What is the function of them doing it? And a lot of people, they may want to say if they're really bent on saying that, well, I'm going to defend worksheets, Kids need to learn hand-eye coordination and fine motor skills with writing on a pencil. Fine, then call it that. Call it that. Say that the worksheet that you're giving is fine motor practice for writing. I'm okay with that. But if we give another worksheet in 10 minutes and another and another and another, then are we just practicing all day fine motor skills? I'm not so certain of that. The other thing too is, I like analogies. I might throw one out there now. Let's just imagine that the concept that we're studying in class is fishing and how to catch fish. Now, I know that the concepts that we do study in school aren't always fishing or whatnot. It might be adding and subtracting, but how many worksheets do I have to do on fishing before a kid knows how to fish? I'm just thinking, I mean, if we were to come up with a number of worksheets, maybe even a number of packets that we give kids, that are you telling me that worksheets are going to get a kid closer to knowing how to fish? The answer is no. No, there's no amount of worksheets that you give a child that's going to teach them how to fish, that's going to teach them anything, that's going to give them their adequate practice on how to fish. But why do we think the same thing when it comes to adding, subtracting, doing any types of things? Those are worksheet, even fact-based knowledge. There's no buy-in with a worksheet at all.
You made me think about worksheets in a funny way, Mike. You said to me one day, you said, "I'm going to challenge teachers to show me their best worksheet." I think that's funny, but it's exactly what we're talking about. And when you said that, I had a thought this week. I thought, I wonder how many worksheets go into those scrapbooks that parents keep of their children's educational experiences. And a lot of parents out there do this. They, find exemplars of their kids' work. They hold on to it because they want to look at it in 20 or 30 or 50 years. How many worksheets make it into that little folder that's being saved? I'm gonna bet not a whole lot of like 50 question, two-digit subtraction worksheets are making it into that folder.
Yeah, that I don't think too many are making it into the folder. And it is funny because it's a little levity right there. But you know what? If I were to bring it back around and really be a Debbie Downer, like, well, how many worksheets actually make it into the grade book?
Right.
Especially in our world, well, I guess on my side of the world, in an elementary classroom, how many worksheets do you think make it into a grade book? Now, we've had a whole other episode on grades and what we think of grades. I'm just saying, given the system that we have now in most schools where we give a numeric grade or whatnot, how many worksheets make it into an elementary school's grade book versus how many are given?
So, and then you hear this word all the time, this phrase, busy work. And let's just say that's pretty much what's happening with those worksheets. The students get them individually. The teacher is removed from the process. The students put down some answers that we're expecting them to put down and fill in the blanks, whatever those blanks are, they hand them in, and that's it. And that's the exact opposite of what we've been trying to advocate for on this podcast since we started. And I think what the two of us will continue to try to push people to move away from forever is that selected response, defined answer style of education. If you can cheat on it, don't do it. If
Right.
your students can cheat on it, don't assign it. That's what happens with those things. And to be quite honest with you, that's why so many people across the country are checking out of those things. They're just time wasters. That's all they are.
Right. And then it's hard to have a conversation about worksheets and not address behavior too, Everybody listening to this by now knows how or what I feel about worksheets. I have called them a number of different things. Time wasters, I call them shut up sheets. And when we start to address behavior, I call them shut up sheets because that's exactly what they're intended to do. Get a kid doing something versus talking or versus doing anything else. You're to sit down and complete this packet while I work over here with a smaller group of students or while something else is going on. You need to do your worksheet to be quiet. I do not like that at all. I'm not okay with that. And when we talk about, our downtime versus our on time, how limited exposure we already have to our kids, why would we choose to limit it even further by giving a busy sheet and then not even caring what the assessment piece is to it? We're not even thinking what the purpose was that I gave it.
So in the same way, I'm going to make a statement, and I want people to hear this if they're listening. If the teacher is removed from whatever activity is going on in the classroom, they then don't have a purpose. And when other people realize that that person doesn't have a purpose, they are not going to have a job. That is style of education is the opposite of what should happen. But if it continues, all of these worksheets are in the process of being moved on to some kind of drill and kill, rote memorization, digital experience. And once that is complete, we can teach 200 people with one person instead of 20 people with one person. And there's not a purpose for teachers any longer, unless we move in the exact opposite direction, which is a rich, fulfilling experience that involves almost no worksheets. And I think we want to talk a little bit about how the paper worksheets have transitioned to online thanks to COVID. Wonderful COVID revolutionized education. I heard those things were going to happen. I don't think that happened. In my opinion, from what I have seen, what we did was we took a lot of the worst things that we do in school on paper and we put them in a digital online format. And we said, now we're using technology. Look how we've revolutionized education. And it's the same exact selected response. Oh my gosh, I'm so bored. Why am I having to do this experience?
Yeah, there are programs out there that let you, even a teacher, even a classroom teacher, let alone these very large, call them resource companies. Some people call them curriculum, but they're not like textbook companies that release all this online information. This is available to classroom teachers too. There are programs, very well-known programs, where I can scan one of my worksheets into the computer, assign it to a kid on Google Classroom. They open up a Kami program and all of a sudden, boom, now they're writing or typing onto a worksheet, saving it and resubmitting it to me. And it, now it becomes just a very passive, very impersonal nothing for kids. Read this paragraph and answer these questions on this worksheet with absolutely no human interaction, with absolutely no discussion. Just do this and you will be successful.
And now we spent
Learn.
$1,000 on that to make it happen on a one-to-one device. We taught you to use a digital pencil to fill out this thing. You could have filled out with a 25-cent pencil, but we're using technology, so we all feel so good about this. It's really kind of a shame and start off kind of being pretty lighthearted about this and making fun or poking fun at worksheets. It's not funny though when you think that not a whole lot has changed since the advent of the worksheet. Mike, you know, I like to dig into history of things a little bit. I looked up the history of the worksheet. The worksheet first made its appearance in public education really post-World War II, as a lot more people were coming to school, but as copy machines became more prevalent and all of a sudden we could chunk off these mass-produced things for students to do. There's a pretty famous scene from a movie. The teacher's name is Ditto in the movie Teachers. All he does is pass out worksheets all day long. Students are trained. Geez, he's got like the best classroom management in that movie you could ever imagine. Those kids are silent. They get their stack of worksheets at the beginning of class. They do them, they turn them in. Well, the guy dies at his desk and no one realizes for a while because all he does is sit at his desk and pass out worksheets. And that's like a funny thing from the movie, but it's really not too far away from what happens in a lot of classrooms, which is sad, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that because it is true. You know, there's we We're trying to encourage dynamic teaching, and I think in order to do that, one of the first steps you got to think of is, am I better than my worksheets? And I ask that a lot around to people that I think can handle that question. Am I better than my worksheets? Because if I am, I can put them away. I don't need them anymore. So if I want kids to write something down or to record their thoughts, I can do that, and I can do that without a worksheet. Is it a little bit more inconvenient? Well, I would say no, because once you get locked into this craft of creating worksheets, it's not a matter of convenience. At that point, you're discrediting your craft by sitting on worksheets and sitting on packets and things like that. Again, you're discrediting yourself because you're removing yourself from what you're giving your kids. They're there for you. You're there for them. Not the in-between worksheet stuff, not the drill and kill practice. And if we do need drill and kill practice, it can still be done in person. You know, I mean, think about this. And then I want to go back when I'm thinking about this to the digital realm of things. Let's say we have indoor recess at an elementary school. What do you think is the number one thing that people who aren't really thinking the way we are, what's the number one thing that we want to do for indoor recess? Let the kids have, that's right, their devices. Let's just let the kids play on their devices, on their iPads, and on their computers. And I'm telling you, if you do that, if you're a teacher in a classroom and it's indoor recess or the weather's just kind of cruddy outside, and you say you can, if you want, get on your computers, 99% of the kids are going to get on their computers or their iPads. They are going to. So that is what they're being trained to do. So you think that you're hooking them with an online worksheet because they love their device. And now we're getting mad at them when they're playing a shoot 'em up game instead of doing their online worksheet or something. Well, hold on a second here. We've got to teach our kids right and wrong, and we've got to teach them in both physical and digital worlds. I know I'm on a little bit of a tangent here, but if you can take away technology for indoor recess for every day but Friday, so now if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we have indoor recess, you need to play a board game or you need to create something in the minds with you and your peers. You can also do that during the instructional day without a worksheet. You don't need that worksheet. You can create a learning experience that is interactive and interpersonal.
And you said something like you said that the teachers that use worksheets lean on them heavily, they're devaluing themselves. And I really that believe that to be true. Teachers, you are highly skilled, highly trained educational professionals. The second you use someone else's things, worksheets, whatever, you're devaluing yourself. You have the ability and the power to make that learning experience amazing. Don't devalue yourself. Make that experience about your rich ability as an instructor.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, even if we say that that is the strategy to get it done, rely on yourself. Think about it simplistically. I have something to show you that I bet you don't know. Everybody, get around here. I want to show you what this is. And now what we're assuming is that might be your curriculum. And don't think, and just switch that a little bit. I have a worksheet here that you haven't done yet. You guys are going to want to see this. Everybody get around here so I can show you this worksheet. No, you have something that you know the kids haven't learned, and you're excited that they do learn it. That's the essence.
And I'm just going to make a jump on my history of worksheets for a second. Let me just make an assumption. The reason why worksheets from some publisher somewhere were invented in the first place is because people didn't trust the teachers. The reason why teachers lean into them now, maybe because they're easy, maybe because they're given to them by school districts, someone somewhere is saying, I don't trust you. I
That's
trust you. I trust you to be a creative educational professional. Make your own things, and your students will then be engaged. You keep saying behavior, Mike. Probably 99% of behavior problems in a classroom environment are just simply due to students being disengaged due to boredom. At some point, they check out of the worksheets, they check out of the packet. It's not what they want, and then they're bored and they do something stupid. That's all.
I agree, and that's something that I tend to think about a lot and express myself on is even me personally, when you've seen one piece of white paper with black and white with black print all over it, you've seen them all. It doesn't matter. By the time, if I've gone through kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, by the time I'm in whatever grade, I've seen enough of these things. They're all the same to me. It's a piece of paper with black lettering on it, and you want me to buh on it. It doesn't even matter.
And then the people who have good grades are willing to comply and fill those things out without much thinking. Just tell me the rules to this worksheet. I'll move these words from this part down to here, and I'm fine. And the people who end up not having good grades just aren't really willing to comply with that any longer. And that's the only difference. It's not
Yeah.
about thinking or problem solving or creativity. Teachers all the time rail against standardized tests, and I think rightfully so, but worksheets and packets are just a miniature version of standardized tests. None of those things measure the types of things we want from our students: creativity, critical thinking, problem solving. The piece of paper with the black print can't measure those things. So stop using them.
Right. It was a story, and I'll kind of end with this. But when I was in the high school, I'll never forget it. I wasn't doing a direct instruction lesson. It was difficult. I engaged the kids in a really tough lesson. I did it about once a year because, again, you can't constantly do the same thing and expect the same results all the time. So we did this very tough concept, and we explored an understanding that there was knowledge out there that we didn't understand. There was a topic that we hadn't done yet that we didn't understand as students. And I was very forthright in saying, I'm not going to explicitly teach this before you explore it on your own. And so we spent a couple of days deeply discussing and researching and digging into this idea. And it was on that second day that, and I'll never forget this, a kid just raised his hand and said, "Mr. D, can we just get the worksheet?" And it was very powerful. I just can't forget it. When you hear something like that as a teacher, that shocked me. I mean, that set me on my heels. And I did not like it because what we were doing was genuine. It was difficult. It was interactive. And, we were all doing it together, but it was hard. It was definitely not this, "Okay, you just tell me and write some stuff on the board. I'll copy it down. You give me the worksheet. I put the stuff on the worksheet, turn it in, I get a grade." That's what we've been training our kids to do.
And I'm willing to bet the kid that said that to you was probably a pretty decent student, probably a high performing student. And he had been so well trained in the game of school that doesn't want the thinking stuff, doesn't want the difficult stuff. Give me the thing that I'm comfortable with that I've been trained to do so I can get my high score and move on.
Exactly.
The one tip or strategy, I guess, to get it done as far as this goes, Mike, that I would present to everybody is just real simple. Make your own stuff. If you didn't create it, if you didn't make it, don't give it to your students. That's a challenge. And a lot of people who may be teachers could listen to that and think, I have no time. There is no way that I could create all of my own stuff. Yes, there is. I'm here to tell you that there is. You did it, Mike. I did it. There's a lot of teachers out there that create these rich, authentic experiences for their students that do the same thing. We'll keep talking about those strategies that people can use to get those types of things done. But that's the one tip. If you didn't create it, if you didn't make it, don't give it to your kids.
And the tip I'm going to give is what I started the episode with. If you need a place to start and maybe try and gauge what that looks like, what Miles just said, one worksheet per class per week. Try that. See where that takes you. I guarantee it'll get you out of the hole, if you will, the worksheet hole. It'll get you starting to create your own things and create experiences versus worksheets. One per week per class.
And if we're off base on this and we missed, just try this little experiment. Walk into your class tomorrow, say, I have a 10-page packet to give you on Mars. You're going to fill it out. Good luck. Or say we're going to break into groups and we're going to start to plan how we're going to get to and live on Mars together as a class. See the difference in the responses and then maybe realize that the packet is something that you should keep in your desk.
Yep, agreed. Well, thanks, Miles. I'm glad we redid this. It's definitely worth making the podcast, and I'm just excited to keep on going.
And hopefully no one missed the mark. We want everyone to send in their very best worksheet to us so we can evaluate them. We're having the very best worksheet contest here at the School Is Out podcast. So good luck.
By all means, go to our Facebook account and just load it up with your best worksheet. Even if it's not yours, go out and find a great worksheet and post it. We'd love to see
that. Maybe check out Teachers Pay Teachers. I heard they got a lot of good ones. And if you really want to get crazy, you got a multiple page upload for us. We will check out packets also.
Yes. And you know what? Even give us some site names for your best worksheet websites, you know, your best word search creators. We're down for all that too.
Worksheets and word finds are eligible. So feel free, send them on in.
Yeah. All right.
As we wrap up another insightful episode of School Is Out, we want to extend our sincerest gratitude to our listeners for joining us on this educational journey. Your support and engagement mean the world to us. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want to stay connected, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform. And don't forget to leave a review. We love hearing your feedback and ideas for future episodes. Remember, the learning doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what education can be. Together, we can continue to shape a brighter future for learners everywhere. Until next time, this is Miles O'Shea and Mike Ditzenberger signing off. Class dismissed, but the conversation continues.